Welcome to the Adamantium Podcast, episode number 196. Welcome back, Adamantomaniacs. I am your host, Adam R. Harrison, and thank you so much for joining me today. And I'm just back from our little haven in Florida down by Clearwater Beach. It's just a little bit over a week, and we did a lot of beaching this time. I think we did like 6 beaches over 7 days, but I made it back just in time to meet up with my boys to watch WrestleMania Night 2. Any of you who know me know I'm a big WWE fan. I have been all my life, and we've had a few wrestlers on the podcast. And this WrestleMania from the past weekend, WrestleMania 40, is going down as one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. Some people are saying it is the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I wouldn't go that far. It was definitely the best WrestleMania in the last 10 years, and quite possibly in the last 15 to 20 years. Of course, culminating in a main event that made not just wrestling headlines, but sports headlines, with Cody Rhodes completing his story and the end of the Roman Reigns title reign that lasted almost 4 years, a story that has gone for almost 4 years, this one with Cody more than a year. So it was pretty epic. And of course, The Rock had heavy involvement leading into this WrestleMania. And the main event basically had a who's who of WWE. People are calling it the WWE's version of the Avengers Endgame. And it was pretty much just that. It was a phenomenal main event, probably the best WrestleMania main event in a very long time. And they're saying it's the start of a new era, one where Paul Levesque, better known as Triple H, will be leading the way. So very exciting times for wrestling fans. But today we don't have a wrestler on the podcast, no. But we do have a milestone episode today. Today we're joined by Justin Benlolo of the band Broken Love, and I say it's a milestone episode because Justin is just the second guest to appear on this podcast 3 times, and he's the first one to appear on it all 3 times in person, the other person being comedian James Mullinger, who's been on the podcast 3 times, but the 3rd episode was actually right at the start of the pandemic, so it was done virtually. So Justin is now the first guest to appear on the podcast in person 3 times. We might as well invite him to co-host. I love these episodes with Justin. It's kind of like hanging with one of the boys. And this time I think was the best one, not only because we have more and more rapport, but there was no time restrictions. We weren't waiting for, you know, soundcheck to start or finish. In fact, we actually recorded this in Broken Love's van in a parking lot outside of the Velvet Underground here in Toronto. And that, of course, was before a show they were doing there that night as part of the Northern Light Tour. It was Broken Love's first headlining tour, I believe. They were co-headlining with Royal Tusk. So Justin and I had a good old gab sesh, and Broken Love will be releasing their 3rd album later this year, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. And actually, you'll hear Justin and I talk about these leather jackets that he introduced me to. It's from a brand called Straight to Hell. And we both own this sick matching red leather jacket, which I was going to wear to the interview. And then I got too nervous that he was going to be wearing it too, and we'd be matching, which would be really odd. But ever since I bought this jacket, anytime I go to do an interview at the venue, the security think that I'm in the band. And that's 100% credited to this sick leather jacket. Anyways, I heard from Justin just last night because I also do concert photography, and he spotted me at the Queens of the Stone Age concert in the pit by the leather jacket. So shout out to Straight to Hell for the most mint leather jackets, and shout out to Queens of the Stone Age for putting on a wicked show last night in Oshawa. Now, if you haven't listened to Broken Love before or listened to the first 2 episodes we did with Justin, we're going to do the Adamantium Recommend segment. So here are 5 songs by Broken Love that I recommend, and I have no idea what I recommended the first 2 times we had Justin on the podcast, so maybe I'll lean more towards newer stuff from the 2nd album. So starting with that 2nd album, it's called Black Box, came out in 2022. The first song I'm going to recommend is a song called Dead Weight. The 2nd song I'm going to recommend, which is maybe my favorite Broken Love song, is a song called Like a Drug. And then the 3rd song I'm going to recommend is called Forever's Enough. And then going back to their self-titled debut album in 2020, I'm going to recommend the song Crush, which I heard them play live for the first time that night at the Velvet Underground. And then from the deluxe version of that album, I'm going to recommend the song Paper Cuts. And that's it. So if you're new to the band, feel free to check those out. You can find Broken Love wherever you get your music. You can also find a few of these songs as well as a selection of recommendations across all the episodes on the Adamantium Recommends playlist, which is on Apple Music. So if you're an Apple Music subscriber, feel free to check that out as well. And if you happen to be a new listener of the Adamantium podcast today, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love to have you back again sometime. So please do hit that subscribe button on whichever podcast network you choose to get your podcasts. You can also follow the Adamantium podcast on social media. We're on Instagram at The Adamantium, on Facebook at The Adamantium Podcast, and on X at Adam R. Harrison. But you can find us just by searching The Adamantium Podcast. And that's it for now. We have a doozy of an episode for you, so let's get right into that. Right here on episode 196 of the Adamantium Podcast, featuring Justin Benlolo of the band Broken Love. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Be safe, God bless, and you will find us back here with a brand new episode real soon.
All the gear was right up to here. Like we were just in
yes. Four of you?
Five of us.
Five of you in this space.
Three people here.
Yeah, and that's not even like a full row even.
No.
That's tight.
And like imagine sleeping just like...
So it's like that, almost like one of these vans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially. And like you couldn't sleep. You couldn't lie down. We'd do like 14-hour drives like that.
Oh,
fucking crazy. Brutal. So I learned to love to drive
on
tour.
Yeah,
like, at least
have
I have
the most space.
Exactly.
You have the most space.
Yeah.
But even this, like, because I'm someone who likes my... I sleep in a king bed.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Me too.
It's like, even my wife now is even like, I can't go back to anything else now. Because it's like, if we go on vacation or something, we have to share like
a
queen
double.
Or a double even.
Oh,
and it's like, oh, you're touching me. Like, you know, it's like, but yeah. So I read like, Dave, you should like take a row. And I was like, man, I'd be so uncomfortable. Like,
this is great now, though. Because now we all have our own row.
You actually have a row, you know? It's like
and
a
I'm short.
Single bed almost each.
Totally. It works for me.
Yeah, if you're like 6'4".
Yeah, see, Kyle and Nick are both
are
like
tall
6'3".
Guys? Yeah.
So their legs, like, they have to, like, curl their legs if they lie down.
Yeah.
Like, my feet don't even make it to the fucking... to the
side
of the
I'd be with you,
thing.
Man, yeah.
You know? I drive most of the time.
Isn't
anyways.
It great when you meet other guys in bands who aren't that tall? And I was like...
Everybody's tall,
so
though.
Many of these photos, I'm like the little guy in between.
Yeah.
And was it... There's some people I met. Like, I met Sully Erna last year from Godsmack, and he's like 5'8". And I was like,
yes. I heard he was short also.
Yeah, he's like 5'8". But anyways... Cool, man. So we're rolling. Number three.
We're rolling. Perfect.
So first thing, you are now officially the second guest to have ever done this podcast three times.
Oh, wow.
Our second thrice guest. Yes.
That's amazing.
And
I'm honored.
All three in person.
Oh,
so
sweet.
So the other three-peat, one was virtual during the pandemic.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
This is much better.
Oh, I won't do them. I refuse now to do.
You got FaceTime, dude.
Yeah.
This is much better.
I refuse to do... like Zoom interviews, like we can meet now.
Yeah,
like,
we can actually do the
that.
Thing.
Yeah, and it was you know, it was a good compromise at the time, but now we don't need to.
We're
do
back.
That.
We're rocking and rolling.
So tell me, man. Like, so last time we had the second album had just come out.
Yeah,
and so you're telling me you're working on a third album right now. So tell me what you can tell me about the album.
Sure, it's done.
It is done.
Tell you
okay,
that. It's done. It's been recorded and finished for a while. We're just like going through like mixing and mastering stuff right now. I'm doing artwork and all that kind of, you know, fun stuff.
Do you have any, do you have an artist that you guys typically use?
We just like solidified who we're going to use again. It's actually the dude
Same
that did,
guy did the second one?
He did the first record.
The first record,
yeah.
Okay.
So we just went back to like.
So did he design the logo?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we worked on it together. I was like, this is what I like and what I think I want. And then he actually took the idea and. You know,
did it? Yeah.
Put it into.
It makes
on
it
paper,
cool. Do you have a tattoo?
You know, yeah, I do.
I was gonna say it makes it. That's a sick
forearm.
Tattoo design.
You know, a few people on this tour have come and had that tattoo.
Really?
It's like more
that's
and more,
cool,
I'm seeing it on people. It's
that's
like,
really cool.
I remember the first person that ever had, like, that ever got it. It was like maybe 2 years ago. I remember maybe or a year and a half ago. We were with Bad Flower. I remember somebody in like North Carolina came to a show, and I was blown away. And now it's just like happening more.
That's pretty
more
cool.
Often.
That's like the ultimate,
you know?
Like. That's commitment, right? That's
commitment.
A lifetime mark. That
I see that and it makes me nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, damn, that means I can't let you down.
Right, yeah.
Like, we better,
bad album
we better fucking, like, keep killing or else, I mean, or, you know, worst case, you just have a cool tattoo. You don't have to say what it is.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Man.
Yeah.
I saw you. Oh, well, let's keep with the record first.
Sure.
So, what kind of tone are we going on this album?
So, it's like it's a little different.
Okay.
I mean, it's our third record, so I feel like you have to be a little bit more ambitious with your third release.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the first record, you just do the thing that you've been working on your entire life.
Yeah.
And then your second record,
it's
like kind of more refined version, I feel like, of your first record. You know, we just kind of amped it up a little bit. I feel like on the third one, you kind of have to take some liberties.
Yeah.
And I think we did. You know, it's a little bit more alternative in spots.
Okay.
A little bit more, like, groovy. It's a little more, like, dancey elements or some funky kind of stuff on it.
Very cool.
There's still, like, heavy, you know, our quote-unquote classic Broken Love stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But we kind of just... Like, we weren't afraid this time to sort of dig into, like, the more alternative and, like, dare I say, even, like, poppy side of what I like, you know?
Which is, I mean, it's not that surprising because, like, the covers that you guys have done have been more pop covers
than,
say,
for sure.
You know, like a Zeppelin cover or something. You know?
I feel like doing, like, Zeppelin covers and, like, Sabbath covers, like, on recording could be a little sacrilegious because I feel like you're going to piss off a lot of people.
But not only that, like, I think a really good cover pays good tribute to the song,
absolutely.
But sounds a little bit different, where it's like, if you're a hard rock band doing a cover of a hard rock band, it's like, how different is it really going to sound? Whereas if you do something like The River.
100%.
Yeah. Or that's Crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
you would never,
it's a completely different sound.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, that's the problem with us. You know, we've talked about, like, we should do an Audioslave cover, or, like, a Soundgarden cover, or a Zeppelin thing. It's cool, like, for live, but, like, if we did it on recording, it would just kind of sound like the original.
The original.
Just
with your voice.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and our production's sound or whatever. But it would kind of be the same thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like with songs like those, you don't want to stray away too much from the original, because that's why everybody likes that song.
Yeah.
You know, and then you piss people off if you don't play... The solo to fucking,
the same way,
you know,
exactly.
Heartbreaker, the exact same way as Jimmy Page did or something like that, you know. We actually were covering Zeppelin at the beginning of this tour.
Okay.
And then we dropped it, actually, because Kyle wants to sing a song, so we gave him his own little spot.
Man, I would love to hear Broken Love Audioslave cover live.
Yeah, we've thought about doing, like, Cochise.
You don't hear it? Oh,
you know?
Cochise.
Actually, funny enough, when we were, so we're out with Royal Tusk right now, and 4 years ago we did a similar tour. And they were covering Cochise every night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That was their cover.
Yeah, I feel like it's an underutilized, you know, like
it's
I've
hard.
Heard Soundgarden I've heard Soundgarden covers at show, but I don't know if I've ever heard an Audioslave cover.
It's tough. I also feel like it's a little bit more, maybe niche. I mean, if you're a rock fan, you probably know it.
I think in our age group too, like you and I think we're a similar age and it's like we were like in high school. When Audioslave, like we were prime target of Audioslave.
Yeah, like I grew up listening to that first record.
One of the first concerts I ever went to.
Yeah. But I feel like, and it's also like the hits and stuff. It's like how many songs can you, like, it's not like Black Hole Sun big.
Right.
You know, or
no,
like Spoon Man big.
Yeah.
As much as I fucking love Audioslave.
Yeah.
I feel like you kind of have to do like Cochise. We did
Like a Stone.
The first Broken Love show ever.
You
we
did
covered
Like a Stone,
like a Stone.
Which is ambitious to try and hit those Cornell notes.
Yeah,
but...
it's not an easy feat.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually did a recording of it. It's never going to see the light of day, but I actually did record like an acoustic version of it.
Okay.
Like in the UK last summer or something.
Yeah.
But there were some problems with the recording session, so it's not going to
ever
come out. But there is on a hard drive. You know, in my house, it's floating around.
Yeah.
So, it would be cool. But for right now, we're just trying to cover stuff that's, like, a little bit more left to center.
Yeah. I mean, if you got new music, you want to get the new
music. Exactly. Right? And, like, the cover stuff that we've done is just to kind of, like, you know, bridge the gap.
Yeah.
It's like we haven't put out something in a while, so it's like, here's something.
So, are you able to play any of the new stuff yet?
Yeah, like, we're going
to
play a new song tonight.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. So, when's, like, do you have any idea of timing? Like, when's the first single coming out?
I would guess with the way things are going, I would say we probably have a single out in the next like 2 months.
Okay,
I would
say.
So we're kind of on the precipice of actually releasing something.
Yeah.
There's just like little final things that we're kind of topping off, I guess you could say, right now. But we have been playing a new song the entire tour. And it's going off pretty well.
So I remember you telling me the on the last album, the second album, that you had to like get it together within weeks.
Yeah.
So tell me now, like, was it a similar situation here? Or did you have more time to put this one together?
Pretty similar, I would say. Like, I think we had come off the road maybe sometime in July, mm-hmm. and then we had booked another tour for like September, October, I think. And my producer Anton, mm-hmm. Anton's a lost. He's really busy, yeah. and he moved to LA.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of like changed things, obviously, because I couldn't just drive downtown Toronto and make the record anymore. So like he had a
did you guys
period of time
it there?
Yeah, we did in LA. We actually did a lot of it at Studio 606.
Really?
Foo Fighters studio.
No way.
Yeah.
So that must have been
that was
cool
mind blowing.
I mean, been pretty cool for you.
Like, what kind of sucks is like they don't let you take you know a lot of pictures and video in there.
Right.
But all the Foo Fighters stuff is there.
Yeah.
All of it.
I know how big a Foo Fighters fan you are.
And the warehouse, like in the back, has everything.
Yeah.
All their stage like setups, like they're like
that's so cool.
Banners through the years.
Yeah.
All their guitars, there's hundreds of guitars, and it has all their names on them, you know.
That's
here's
cool.
Pat's guitars, here's Dave's guitars, here's Chris's guitars, you know.
And there's Dave never came by at any point?
No, you know, but I did hear, the intern, in the front office.
Yeah.
At one point I walked out, because I think I was like, order pizza or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He was talking to Pat Smear.
Okay.
On speakerphone.
Yeah.
And I walked out, and I was like, I think I know that voice.
Yeah.
And like two Gibson SGs that just showed up.
Yeah.
And like Pat plays SGs. And I think he plays like Hagstrom SGs as well. And I heard him talking to the guy like, oh, how do they sound? Like, how do they look? Do they sound good? And I was like, oh my God, that's a Foo Fighter.
Yeah.
That's Pat Smear.
Yeah.
And I just walked out of the room because I'm like, I probably shouldn't be listening to this conversation.
Oh, man.
But the whole time I was like, maybe Dave is going to come by.
Someone come in. Yeah.
They were doing a barbecue like the weekend we were
always
there.
Every story I hear about Dave Grohl involves barbecue.
Yeah. You know? He's always barbecuing. He's doing like a charity barbecue up north or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we left him a note, you know, because it's like exclusive. Like you can't really record there.
Yeah.
My producer had an in with another producer who had done some stuff there. And, the best sounding drum room I've ever been in.
Really?
I mean, it's a drum room created by the greatest rock and roll drummers.
Yeah.
Like, Dave and Taylor, like, basically did that.
Yeah.
And then we got to use a Frankenstein kit of Dave and Taylor's stuff.
Oh, sick.
Which was bananas.
Yeah.
So we used pieces of the kit that were on Nevermind.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like, some of the toms were from Nevermind.
Yeah. That is...
And we were using Taylor's snare and Taylor's kick and all of their cymbals, too. Like, we brought everything, and they were like, you don't need any of this.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. That's so sick.
So fucking cool, dude.
I, last year, the last interview I did last year was with Wolfmother.
Nice.
And they, same thing, they did a record at Sound City, which is also Dave's now. And Dave did go in.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe him. And the guy was saying, he's like, he was so focused on what he was doing that he didn't realize that, like, one point Dave was kind of, like, hinting that he would play drums.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, I didn't pick up on it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I thought about it later. And I was like, oh my God. I just ignored Dave Grohl.
What a mess.
Like, yeah. Like, dude, what a missed opportunity. He's like,
that's crazy.
You know. He's so Australian that he's just whatever. You know?
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think I saw a tweet of yours that you said, like, one day you had a dream that Dave Grohl hated your band or something like that.
Well, I had this vision of, like, so a couple weeks ago, we had to add a couple more songs to the record.
Yeah.
And I flew down to L.A. just before we started this tour. Actually, right before this, we did a thing called Shiprocked.
Yeah.
It's like this cruise. It's like this...
Yeah.
It's like a festival on a boat.
Yes. Yeah.
Right before that, I flew down to L.A., to just like add two more songs, but I wasn't gonna be there to do drums.
Okay.
And we did all the drums at 606.
Right.
So I had this like dream that like Dave Grohl was gonna show up to the studio when I'm not there, of course.
Right.
And just like smirk and be like, this is fucking garbage.
Oh,
you
no.
know? And then crush my dreams.
I was gonna say, did you wake up in a cold sweat and like.
I didn't, I wasn't like too worried about it because I was like, he's not gonna come by. Yeah. You know, but I it would have been my luck if he showed up to the session when I'm not there.
Yeah.
You know, because I probably would have passed out.
Yeah. I feel like if Dave Grohl doesn't like your band, like, too, you just got to,
I'm done. Just quit.
Now. That's
yeah.
it.
Which would be fucking horrible.
Yeah.
But it was really cool, man. Like, going around and seeing all the plaques and, like,
yeah.
the back room has all, like, it's not just Foo Fighter stuff. I think there's Queens of the Stone Age stuff there.
Oh, it makes sense.
Because there's all these, like, Sun amps and stuff, which I know Josh uses. you know. Yeah. I think there was some, like, dare I say, like, John Paul Jones stuff there, because there was all these bass heads.
Vultures, yeah.
And I was like, I think this is a John Paul Jones bass head.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't, I wasn't asking, obviously, don't want to be there. Like,
right, be that
acting
guy.
Acting like a fanboy around their, like, team, you know.
Yeah.
They had an in-house engineer that, like, works with the Foo Fighters. He tours with them. And I don't want to be that guy. I'm sure they have that happen all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're gracious enough to let us actually come by and record. Whether or not, like, Dave is aware of that kind of stuff, I don't know. But it was definitely a
That's
surreal
cool
experience.
For you, man. I can tell, like, I know that what kind of...
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, just being able to go
actually,
there.
One of the questions I had, and maybe that could be the answer, is I was going to say, as someone who's been doing this for a little while now, what's, like, the moment for you that you've like, that's made you most feel like a rock star?
Oof, that's a tough one. I mean, I guess, like, recently, it seems like we've been around long enough now where people, like, have learned the songs, you know, and know the words and stuff. And especially in Canada, we've had a lot more, like, radio play, and we have a little bit more of a fan base over here than America. Like, night after night, I'm seeing people sing all the words, and, like, I can't help but smile.
Yeah.
And then I'll miss words. Because I'm looking down and people are, like, singing the words, like, passionately.
Yeah.
You know? And that's really cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, through the years, like, we've had people know, like, maybe a few words to, like, our biggest songs. You know, maybe they know, shut down in the bottom of the valley. And that's the only line they know. And I could see them sing it. But now it's, like, every night people are singing all the words. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, maybe we're really doing something here. You know? And it takes a long time, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been at this for, like, 5 years now, I think. But it feels like people are really coming out, like, we're really seeing a more concrete fan base than before. Obviously, like, doing a tour like this, because it's a kind of a headline tour, we're responsible for selling the tickets. Usually we're just piggybacking off of other bands to,
headlining,
you know, bring the people, and it's generally not all of our fans, obviously. So getting to see the people show up for us and Royal Tusk, is insane.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we've actually...
So what's the vibe been like on this tour?
It's been great. I mean, we know these guys so well. I think this is, like, our third tour with Tusk.
Okay.
So it's like the friends and family tour.
Yeah.
You know,
cool.
We met them years ago. And then the last tour they actually did before COVID, the singer Dan, he got long COVID. So he got, like, up for a couple of years. He wasn't able to do anything. was with us. It was the last tour. So it's like the first tour back, last tour they ever did. It, like, kind of makes sense, you know? So it's been great, man.
That's cool, man.
This is not...
Yeah, because I've heard, you know, the hangs can make or break the tour.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Yeah. Having fun, most of the time is spent, you know, 2 hours of the night is on stage, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And the rest
We've been at the venue since 3.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We don't play till, like, 9:30.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
But it's great. I mean, we're gear sharing. Like, we know them so well. It's like we're commuting together.
Yeah.
We're sharing green rooms. Like, it's not weird, you know?
That's cool. You were talking about... just made me think of it when we're talking about recording drums and stuff. Like, one of the things I've been hooked on watching recently is, have you seen that YouTube series? I forget who does it, Drumeo or something?
Yeah,
who
does
it with they bring in a drummer.
Yeah, he's never heard the song before.
Those, I've been so hooked on those.
Yeah, some of those are really, really great.
Really good, But the Chad, you've seen the Chad Smith
one? I saw the Chad Smith one,
yeah. Because he does it in one take.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Oh, it's unreal. Yeah. But I just watched, like...
They're like, do you want to do it again, Chad? He's like, no, I killed it.
He's fantastic. They always bring in, like, badass dudes. Like, I think I watched Mike Portnoy the other day. Because he did a Nickelback song.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I was like, let's see how this goes.
I even saw one with, what's his name? The country singer. What's his name?
Country singer.
Luke Combs.
Luke
Combs, drummer. He was doing, like, Opeth.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, obviously he hadn't heard it before.
Right.
Some of these people, I saw a girl who was like, she's just like a TikToker.
Yeah.
And same thing, like ripped Slipknot. And she usually does like pop covers.
God, TikTok. So, that makes me cringe.
Well, you might not need to cringe at it anymore.
Yeah, apparently they're banning it in the States.
It might be, yeah.
Which honestly would be really great for us.
Yeah. For the music industry.
Yeah,
in
because I feel like, you know, I'm friends with a few people that work for Live Nation and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And
they don't break on TikTok. They're not interested.
And straight up, they're doing shows downtown Toronto, like, a few times a week, selling out these venues like Danforth and stuff, which I think is like 1,400 or 1,500 people. Mm-hmm. These TikTok artists that, you know, I've never heard of, and maybe I'm just, you know,
we're old now.
Old, and I'm disconnected from that.
Yeah.
But it blows my mind how many artists, quote unquote, you know, have blown up on the platform.
The thing is, I think it's more so. I mean, great for them.
Yeah, it's great. But I mean, like, it's a grind.
What's
it's,
the longevity in that? You know,
I don't know.
I mean, being content creators,
like on top of everything else that we have to do, is such a pain in the ass. Yeah. Like, you know, we already do Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, which we have to do, obviously. But like, TikTok is a whole other world of creation. Like, you have to come up with like quick little, you know, witty videos and get along with the trends and then be really good at video editing and and like it's audio syncing. And then you have to be able to record yourself well. And it's like, dude, this is like a full-time job.
Yeah.
It's also kind of gimmicky to me,
yeah,
I feel.
Course. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I, with all due respect to the people that have built careers off of it, like obviously, if I really wanted to, like we would be doing it. We would honestly probably benefit from it, but I just kind of cringe at it.
Yeah.
You know, and I would really cringe if Josh Homme started a TikTok.
Right, right.
You know,
feel,
Dave Grohl was on TikTok.
It doesn't feel like a rock star.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel cool to me.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like a bitter take because maybe like the way to look at it is like, well, we should do everything we possibly can to further our career.
Yeah.
But I keep holding out on it.
Yeah, you got to stay true to yourself too. If it's not something that feels right for
you
guys,
I don't want to be a content creator too. I'm already writing songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Practicing guitar and singing and trying to be a band leader and do everything else that comes with being a modern day musician.
Yeah.
Being a content creator is not the thing I'm trying to add to my list.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally get that, man. I think since I last saw you, I noticed from the photos, you got a lot of new ink.
Yeah, yeah, my arm is all
covered
like
up
now.
Half sleeve going on?
Yeah, I have a half sleeve now, yeah.
Yeah, so
actually, right down the street.
It's you have a guy?
Yeah, it's called FY Ink.
Okay.
Right here.
Yeah.
Great. They're fantastic.
And were they customs or you chose flash or? I couldn't
see
the photo.
It wasn't like flash. We just went in and we kind of designed the sleeves together.
You did it too? Oh, like kind of on the spot though.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I just booked time because I'm like, listen, I'm getting older.
Yeah.
I want to be tatted up in my 30s.
Yeah.
And I want to look sick.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, I don't have time to waste. So I just booked a consultation with my dude, Manny, and we just went in.
Did you know him before? You found him?
Yeah,
oh, you already knew.
And he tattooed my dad. He tattooed my mom.
Okay.
He tattoos my whole family.
That's cool.
Because my dad has 2 full sleeves.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, he's all tatted up.
Your dad's badass.
My dad is badass as shit.
Yeah.
My dad's really sad he can't be here tonight.
He's
in Florida.
Well, that's not a right place to be too.
I know. That's what he does now.
Your son headlining in Toronto.
He called me today. He's like, I'm a little bummed out. It was the first show he's ever missed of me.
Really?
Playing in Toronto.
Oh.
But it's okay. It'll be more.
Yeah, yeah. Of course there will. There will be. But, next time it'll be at a bigger stage too.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That'd be in a perfect
world.
Cool.
So what are some of the tattoos that you got?
So I got like all these skulls up my arm, which is incredibly hard.
Yeah.
And then I have this like demonic like statue figure holding the last skull in her hands.
Okay.
And don't ask me what it means because I don't know. And I just thought it looked cool and badass. And I got this raven. I don't know if I had it last time. Probably didn't.
Yeah.
I have this raven on top of my arm now with a rose that was for the second record because on the cover of Black Box, there's a raven flying out of the box. And I was like, okay, this is a cool way to commemorate like the release of this record and everything that went into it. I got this Prince tattoo.
It'd be kind of cool to get. Oh, that's.
Yeah, I have the love symbol on my hand now.
I was gonna say it'd be kind of cool to get something that symbolizes each album.
Yeah, it's probably what I'm gonna do for this third one too.
That's cool, man.
I always do it for the music. I feel like. There's nothing else.
My parents were the opposite. My parents were like, not while you're in this house.
Yeah. You know?
So I didn't get my first tattoo until I was like 27.
Oh wow.
You know.
So I just want to do it all at once.
Yeah, it's kind of true. And they're like, they're addictive that way.
And they're expensive as fuck. That's the problem. It's like.
So she'd be getting customs, right?
Yeah, and if you do your, like a big chunk of skin, I mean, it's thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I have to finish my, like my bicep area, my shoulder isn't covered yet.
So
you
gonna
my right
finish
arm.
One arm first.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I might do like color on my left arm because I have black and gray.
Yeah.
On my right arm. I mean, now, I mean, I might do like patchwork on my left arm.
I'm more of a black and gray.
Yeah, me
fan,
too.
But I kind of like it. I'm not a fan of like full color tattoos, but I kind of like a black and gray tattoo with like one accent color.
Yeah, a little
like,
bit could be cool.
Thing, yeah.
Well, the thing too is you always have the option to add color down the line.
That's true.
You know, if I want to just like spice it up in a couple years, I could just say fuck it and add some color to my sleeve.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm definitely like itching to get more. Like our guitar player Kyle was going to get one on this tour it didn't work out with the timing of like days off and stuff.
Yeah.
But when he booked a consultation down the street, I was like, shit, maybe I should
do
it
through.
Did you
guys ever get like a band tattoo, like go together?
Well, when we got Prince tattoo done, an artist came backstage at a show, I think in like Boise or something, and he gave us a bunch of free tattoos. So I got the love symbol. Kyle got the cover of Songs for the Deaf.
Okay.
Like the pitchfork.
Yeah.
Nick got a XTC tattoo. We just got all bands that we love.
Bands that you like, yeah.
I don't know if anybody else got anything, but that was like a band tattoo moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's cool. Last year I was interviewing Portugal the Man.
Nice.
And they were like the only time they had for me to come in was literally they had hired a tattoo artist to come in and all give them tattoos.
Oh, wow.
That he had like designed these like five different flashes that they could use for the band. And so, yeah. So it was kind of...
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. I actually have to... That was that night too. But last time we met, you told me about Straight to Hell jackets.
Yeah.
The leather jackets.
Yeah, I didn't wear it today.
I got one.
I got one
after you told me because it was
they're fucking
a
great.
Slick jacket.
And they're a good price.
So yeah, so I got one. I mean, I have to hand it out to you because like I've been to History 4 or 5 times and they always think I'm in the band.
Oh, sick.
And I'm like, it's 100% the jacket.
Has to be the jacket.
So they thought I was in Portugal the Man.
Yeah.
They thought I was in Silver Sun Pickups.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man.
That's badass.
I was like, man, I wish I had this jacket when I was single. Like,
they're great.
The jacket's doing so many favors for me.
I wore mine the other day, the red one. But I you know, the problem is
mine's
with the red.
I was going to wear
it
today.
You got the red leather one, too?
I got a red leather one.
Oh, sick.
I was going to wear it today, and I was like, man, if he shows up with the same jacket, it's going to be too much.
No, I'm wearing my, I have an All Saints one on now.
Yeah.
You gotta switch it up. I feel like the red one is so like...
Yeah, you can't wear it every night.
Yeah, because everybody knows you got it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty loud, and I've worn it on like previous tours, and I feel like I don't want it to be my only look.
Yeah.
But black is always classic.
Yeah.
And you can't go wrong with it. I've had this one since I was like 16, but I'm actually gonna get another Straight to Hell black leather jacket.
Okay.
Just because it's classic. I want a more like motorcycle looking
really
one.
Yeah, really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love them.
It is harder to get it here to Canada.
I was in the States when I got mine.
Yeah, it's a lot easier because there was a whole thing with mine because I ordered it and I think they fit smaller than regular, so I had to send it back.
Oh, that's annoying.
It was, but anyways.
I knew the size because Kyle's brother had one that I saw, and then I overnighted one that night.
Okay.
To their place.
Okay.
But I tried it on, it fit me perfectly, so I just got the exact same thing.
Yeah, see, it wasn't like what I would normally, the size I'd normally order, and then I was like, oh.
Well, they stretch, you know? They stretch.
But anyways, it all worked out in the end. Is it true that you can sing opera?
Yeah, I can, actually. That's funny.
It was John Harvey from Monster Truck who told me that you could sing opera.
Oh, that's all. Dude, he was at the show last night.
Was he?
Yeah,
oh,
he came out.
In St. Catharines?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he's closer to Downey.
Yeah,
Hamilton,
he lives in Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to his studio, actually, once.
We actually dropped off, funny enough, when we tour with them, I've had his bass cab for like 2 years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I was like, well, fuck, we're coming that way.
Yeah.
I hit him up. I was like, dude, do you want your bass cab back?
Yeah.
So we dropped it off by the studio. And then he came down to the show.
That's
so awesome. He was
I don't know
about
how it.
It
came up. I have no idea how it came up. But he's like, yeah, that dude can sing opera.
I was like,
I was like, I'm going to fact check that.
Well, I took opera singing lessons.
Okay.
As part of my like training regime.
Right, right.
It's called bel canto technique. So I did that for a couple of years, actually.
Okay.
It's pretty funny because I'll do it in the green room sometimes when I'm warming up. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's amazing.
Like, I'm telling you, it helps me.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't get that like when I'm singing live.
Yeah.
But it's just for the placement and stuff,
that's
it really
cool,
helps.
Man. Yeah. I feel that's like a good broken love tidbit.
It's a little
like,
fun fact. We'll see how I sound tonight after like 17 shows and one of the last three shows.
This is the last night.
We have two more.
You have two more.
Yeah.
So where do you go after here?
London tomorrow. And then Waterloo's the last show on Saturday.
Okay. But still in Ontario.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be wild.
St. Paddy's Day in Waterloo. It's going to be bananas.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's going to be like 100,000 kids just like around the streets. We're going to try and rally them to come to the show.
Yeah, because Waterloo's like a pretty good college town,
Yeah,
too.
It's a Laurier's out there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be... I mean, I used to go up there because I didn't go to university, but like all my friends did.
Yeah.
So I would go up for St. Patty's or I'd go up for like homecoming or whatever just to get
I've always
blackout.
Wanted to see Dropkick Murphys on St. Patty's Day in
Boston.
They
always have that...
They always do Boston.
Like, one song they have in like every fucking movie. Oh,
shit. Shipping off to Boston. Yeah,
that's
the
one.
Departed.
We were talking about that in the green room yesterday.
Yeah.
It's in everything.
Yeah.
We need a song like that.
Yeah. Okay, there's a couple other tweets that that I pulled out that sure. I thought were great. So one was a recent one that I'm curious about. You said that early 2010s
yes.
was one of the best eras of rock music.
Absolutely.
All right, tell me.
We talk about this all the time in the van. Okay. Like, that's when we were all like in high school. And yeah. it's like that era of music was like, people seem to forget. That's when like Wasting Light came out. Like Clockwork came out, Queens
yeah.
of Stone Age.
Yeah.
AM came out, Arctic Monkeys. Okay. Cage the Elephant, Thank You, Happy Birthday came out.
Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon came out.
Yeah. Only by the Night. Yeah.
I think, was it Mechanical Bull? No, maybe they both came out in that.
It was a little bit, I think 2008 might have been. It was around 2008, I think, Only by the Night. So
I think Mechanical Bull might have come out like 2013 or 2014.
No, yeah, the one after Mechanical Bull was Super Around Soaker. Sundown. Yeah, that yeah. one was Super Soaker. No, Super Soaker was Mechanical Bull. Come Around Sundown, which was the Radioactive one, was next.
There was also Jack White, who had put out all okay. solo records around then. I think the okay. first one had come out then. Maybe Lazaretto come out around them too. Also, Tame Impala, Lonerism came yeah, out around yeah. then.
Okay.
I think Foals were just coming out around then. Like, there's a few that I'm missing here. Because I was trying to come up with a list the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
Soundgarden put out right. King Animal
yeah.
around then. Like, it was insane. Black Keys put out Brothers. Sorry, yeah, El Camino came out.
El Camino, which is their best
yeah.
album.
El Camino yeah. came out when we were in high school.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
I forgot
crazy.
That you and I were the same, where Wasting Light is our favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's hands down the best Foo Fighters record.
Yeah, everyone will always say Color in the Shape.
I mean, fantastic album. Great fucking album.
But Wasting Light, to me, is...
Royal Blood came out. First Royal yeah. Blood record was like 2011 or something.
Were you at that Foo Fighters Royal Blood
No, tour? I missed the fucking show. I remember yeah. I was like, I might have been somewhere in LA. Or I might have been in New York at the time. I remember that they came yeah. together. There was also a Black Keys tour, or maybe the Black Keys opened for the Foo Fighters also. There was like something around that time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like all these bands that are now, I mean.
That was a good chunk, right? You're right. That was a good
chunk.
It's insane.
Right there. Yeah. Like when you start thinking about it, I'm like, yeah. all this fucking great music.
Well, Muse was on fire at that point.
Yeah,
too.
Muse was on fire as yeah. well.
Was that? Black Holes might have been earlier than that, but that was...
It wasn't Black Holes. It was...
Resistance, I know. Oh, Resistance.
It was
then.
The
Uprising.
Uprising,
that was the Resistance
yeah.
album.
Yeah,
which
Resistance.
Was sick.
Yeah.
Black Holes was their best, yeah.
There was just so much great rock
yeah.
at that time. And like going, and it was cool because we go to high school, everybody's listening to it. Mm. You know, so you'll talk about it at school.
Yeah.
And we were all like-minded people, like sharing our music interests. And
so you are a little bit younger than me.
A little bit.
I was graduating university in
yeah.
2010. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was in high school. Fuck. I guess I didn't graduate high school, but I would have graduated in 2016.
Oh, yeah, you got a lot of yeah. years on me, man.
Yeah, I'm 26.
Yeah, we're like 10 years apart.
Okay.
Never mind. Yeah.
You don't look it.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Or maybe I look
do
a little older.
I appreciate that. No, yeah. I think it's more so because we like all the same music.
Yeah.
So, because it's interesting, because my wife is 4 years younger than me.
Mm.
And even that 4 years, because that was the difference between high school and university
yeah.
for us, which is like a big difference at
yeah.
the time. And so when I, like, same thing, like, we talk about, like, the Kings of, like, she's a huge Kings of Leon fan, and Only by the Night, I remember, came out when I was in college, and she was in high school, and I was like, she's like, so I, like, wasn't really going to shows yet, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I went to that tour. Like, that
yeah.
was, yeah.
Yeah, I missed all, like, I missed a couple of those bands, like, early records. Like, when
okay.
I, this is some of the bands I just listed, like, this is, like, way into their career.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of their pinnacle records
yeah,
came
yeah.
out around then,
That's
you know?
That's cool, yeah. Another tweet that I loved was, how you said, is like, how can you say rock's dead when Creed is making a comeback? And man, you know what? I have to say, like, I found it that I was like, I didn't realize that Creed would ever be the comeback, the reunion we all needed, man.
And their songs are super viral again.
Yeah.
You know, say what you want about Creed. I'm not like a big listener of Creed. I was kind of yeah. taking the piss on that tweet,
yeah.
you know, but there's truth. In it.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you see the Super Bowl ad for Paramount Plus?
No.
Oh,
I didn't watch this. I didn't even know the Super Bowl happened.
Yeah, okay. It's one of the best Super Bowl ads I've maybe ever seen.
Really?
And Creed is in it.
Oh, that's amazing.
I won't spoil it for you because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, they're doing two like arena and amphitheater gigs in Toronto this summer.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
that surprised me.
I was a Creed fan because I was in, I loved Creed. I think they got a bad rep after Nickelback came out.
Yeah.
But Creed, man, had like they were the biggest band in the world at one point.
Dude, they were fucking massive.
So it's funny because we were just in Argentina.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's and beautiful. We were on this like 25-kilometer hike.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the topic of Creed came up.
Yeah.
And
as it does.
My wife was like, other than, you know, Higher and Arms Wide Open, what other songs did they have? Mm. And I was like, well, you know, My Sacrifice. She's like, how'd that one go? You know, I was like, well, One Last Breath. She's like, well, how'd that
my
one go?
My Sacrifice.
And so, I love that song. I was like singing them all to her, and she's like, oh, man, maybe I like Creed.
They have some bangers.
Yeah, they did.
And they're such nice guys. Like, I never met Scott, but like, we played with Alter Bridge before.
Yeah, Alter Bridge.
It's pretty much Creed
too.
With Miles
People
Kennedy.
People don't realize that.
You know?
That is Creed.
It's Creed with Miles Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Tremonti's such a nice guy.
Yeah, and a sick guitarist.
Fucking rich. I didn't realize that Miles Kennedy was a sick guitar player.
Yeah.
My whole life, I was just like, he's a fucking phenomenal singer.
Yeah.
After playing with him, I was like, dude, this guy's just as good as Tremonti.
Yeah.
He's like the fucking to me, he's like the American Ian Thornley. Or maybe Ian Thornley is the Canadian Miles Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And he, and, like, he did that album with Slash, too, which was pretty
cool.
Yeah,
that's how I know him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I didn't know about Alter Bridge.
The first time I ever saw Miles Kennedy was in Rockstar.
Rockstar, yeah.
Yeah, with the Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, he comes up at the end.
At the end, yeah. Little baby Miles Kennedy.
I think he sings some of the stuff on that soundtrack, too. I know it's a lot
probably,
of...
Probably. It's like a super group.
Dude from
Zach
Steelheart
Wilde's in there. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Creed, the reunion, we all didn't realize we...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would kill for a Creed tour. I would love to go on that tour.
Yeah. They've got some good, like, support acts on that.
I bet.
That's Wolfgang Van Halen's band's opening
great.
Some of the shows here. They're doing the second time they're here.
Wolfgang's
the first
like
time
a...
is Big Wreck and...
Oh, wow.
Oh, what's it called? Finger 11?
Oh, that's good for them, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Wolfgang's amazing. Like, we played a festival. He was on it. Like, we don't know him.
Yeah.
He was in catering, and I remember just looking at him. I was like, that's fucking Eddie Van Halen's son.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he was just on the Oscars.
He's so good.
He was playing with Slash.
Oh
in
my
that,
god!
That I'm just Ken.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know any of these things happened. Like we're so disconnected from the award shows.
Yeah.
We were also on Shiprocked when the Super Bowl happened.
Right.
So I don't even know that was going.
What's that
on.
Like playing on a boat?
It's interesting because you can like feel the boat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like rocking.
So you're like moving?
Yeah, you can get like tossed around, and the weather was kind of shitty this year.
Oh.
So there was a lot of postponing.
Postponing.
Of like deck shows because of the rain. And if there's lightning, you can't play outside, obviously.
Right, yeah.
And the boat hit the pier this year. They crashed the boat. Like, legitimately. You know, I remember waking up in the morning, and I felt a big crack.
Yeah, was the captain like partying too hard the night before?
The weather was so bad, and the waves, like the swells were crazy that it just rocked and it hit the pier.
Man.
And then we had to like disembark. Oh no, the people that disembarked were stuck in Jamaica for like 8 hours with no cell service. They didn't know what was going on. We can't talk to them. They can't talk to us. Thank God none of the guys in my band got off.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were stuck on the boat and they like sailed back out to the ocean. And the weather was so bad, dude. We were all seasick for like 3 days. No. It's
you
fun.
Play like
you
got
oh my god! Because of the schedule shifting too, like all of our sets got moved forward. So we played at like 10:30 on Wednesday, and then at 12:30 in the afternoon the next day. And on Shiprock, that's early.
Yeah,
because you're up partying till like 5 a.m.
Of course, yeah.
You know, you're not sleeping at all.
Yeah,
and then you get up still drunk and still play the show.
Yeah.
You know, I woke up and I was like, I don't know if I can sing this set. You know, I'm drinking coffee on stage.
Yeah.
While our drummer's doing his drum solo, I'm just drinking coffee and beer because you're like, I'm already a little drunk. I might as well, like, this is the only way to get through it.
How long does it go for?
The cruise is 6 days.
6 days, okay. And like Caribbean?
Yes.
Well, I guess you said Jamaica. Yeah.
So it's in the Caribbean. Yeah. We docked out of Miami this year.
Who else was on that?
Bad Flower was on there.
Okay.
Dead Poets Society was on there. Tiger Cub was there. The Warning, it's a great band from Mexico.
Okay.
They're on there. The big band, I think, was I Prevail.
Oh, okay.
Was on there.
Yeah.
They got kind of screwed, though, because of the whole mishap with the pier shit. Like, I think it was their drummer, like, had another thing he had to do.
Okay.
So they only played one show.
Everybody's
supposed to play twice.
Twice, yeah.
Highly Suspect was on there. There's a few people I'm missing. I think Dorothy was on there. a few bands. There was it's a festival, you know. There was a crazy lineup, and it was a lot of our friends, which was really cool.
That's cool, yeah.
So we were just like hanging out with our buddies. Yeah, it's like a free vacation, and you get to you happen to play rock and roll.
I always see Chris Jericho's band always doing those.
Yeah, like,
they have a Jericho cruise. Yeah, there's so like many and bands and
there's so many cruises. Yeah, Kiss Cruise, Motley Cruise. Yeah. I think Lamb of God is about to do their own cruise. Yeah. Randy Blythe was on it last year.
Okay.
Because they have Stowaways is what they call their, like, all-star, like, alumni that they bring back. So, like, Michael Starr was there from Steel Panther. Bumblefoot comes on. He played in GNR for a while.
Yeah. The first time I saw GNR was with Bumblefoot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Such a nice guy.
I strung his guitar. I played at a Guns N' Roses concert. I played a single note.
Oh, that's... Really?
Because he ran by, like, and you could, like...
And you hit his guitar.
I strummed a note at a GNR concert. Yeah,
I'll one up you. I played with Bumblefoot.
Well, of course. You're going to one up me in every way. But
sorry.
When I tell people, I'm like, technically, I played at a Guns N' Roses concert.
Pretty cool. He was really rad.
Same with I sang at when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I was like 15 at the time. I sang the chorus at a POD concert.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, while I was getting like whipped with the guy's dreads. Yeah. Because you remember they had the song Boom?
Yeah.
Boom. And every time he was like in the crowd, and every time he did Boom, he would like stick it.
Oh, he put the thing.
So I was right there and I was doing the booms. And
I remember the closest thing I have to that is like every time KG Elfin would come to Toronto, I'd always get right in the pit, and I've held Matt Schultz like 3 times.
Okay.
Because he walks on the audience.
On the audience, yeah.
So
yeah,
I've
yeah.
held his foot a couple times. It's pretty
cool. That's
cool. Pretty
That's
cool.
a pretty cool experience.
I would love to play with those guys. They're fucking awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. Would you do it again?
Shiprocked? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is our second year in a row. They usually don't do like three-peats.
Right. Okay.
So we're probably not going to get asked to do it next year.
But maybe, you have done it before.
Yeah, we've done it twice. Cool. So, they kind of keep the bands in this like cycle.
Yeah.
You know, like the Shiprock fans are very loyal too. Mm-hmm. So like
it's the same people who
it's the same people that come every year.
Okay.
And it sells out within a week of them announcing the next year one.
Yeah. That's cool.
And the fans they like congregate, like they come to all the shows. If you're near like an area where somebody who's been on Shiprock is, they'll all come to the show.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. That's very loyal.
Yeah.
So we've had a few Shiprockers on this tour.
I wouldn't
be surprised if there's some to come tonight.
Really?
You know? Yeah, because Tusk has done it too.
Okay.
It's like once you do it, you're like in this
like
secret
community.
Society of rockers. Okay. You know? But maybe they'll bring me on as a stowaway, like I said, next year.
Okay.
Because I did the stowaway stuff this year, so I was part of like this cover band on top of doing just Broken Love stuff.
Yeah.
So I got to do some Rush. I got to do some Ghost.
Ugh.
It was pretty cool.
Dude, how sick was that last Ghost album?
You know what? I haven't heard it. I'm not gonna lie.
That was my favorite album. So the opening song on that song, it's called Kaiserian.
Yeah.
It's like one of the best rock songs I've heard in a long
time. I loved that band.
And like I'm a drummer, and like it's one of my favorite songs now to play.
It's probably
on the
Dave
Grohl. It's actually there was a guy I never met, but it was someone who was telling me a story about a guy who got recruited into Ghost, and it's like. It's smart. The guy's a businessman.
Yeah.
The guy who, I forget, Tobias something or
Tobias,
whatever.
Yeah.
Because, like,
everybody knows his name now.
Part of the reason why they wear masks is it makes them replaceable, right?
Yeah, so. it's a revolving door.
Yeah.
Like, I know of some stuff.
Yeah.
They're on our label.
Oh, you got to hear that. That song, man, was.
I love Meliora. I think that was the record
the
that
one
I
before,
loved.
Yeah, which was fantastic.
That was a fucking phenomenal record.
I like the one after even better.
Yeah, I haven't kept up
it's called.
With a lot of. New music, honestly.
Oh, you got to hear that one.
I've been so wrapped up with like Broken Love stuff. That,
right.
Like,
I mean,
it's like all I'm focusing on is like our music, and then making the music, and then listening to the songs to make sure they're good.
Well, if I could recommend one rock and roll album from the last couple of years, that would be it.
I'll check it out.
It is really cool.
Especially I'll never not see them live if they come through because the show is so good.
Show, yeah.
So
amazing.
Absolutely.
What's touring with Steel Panther like?
So much fun, dude. Yeah. It's so much fun. Like, I mean, we all know what they do. You know, it's a shtick, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But they're the nicest fucking guys. It's so funny because like, you're on stage, they're like doing their thing, and you know, it's hilarious. But it's also amazing. I mean, they're face melting players, all of them.
Yeah.
But off stage, they're just like normal guys.
Yeah.
Like such normal dudes, and such sweethearts. And they've been so cool to us, and they keep up with us. And
that's cool.
You know, again, like Michael Starr was on Shiprocks. We're just hanging out with him all the time. He came with his kids. Like, he's just a dad. You know what I mean? Like,
I've heard they've all, like, family guys.
Yeah, they're just, but, like, regular dudes, man. Yeah. Awesome guys. Which we did, now we did two tours with them last year.
That's cool.
It was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
They actually asked us to do, I can say it, it's fine. They asked us to do a third tour with them in a couple months, but, like, we can't tour the same band three times within 12 months. I feel like it's just a lot, you know?
Okay.
It's a lot to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's cool, though. They've always been someone I've wanted to have on the podcast.
Oh, they would keep up the characters, though.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah. I've heard, which is awesome.
Yeah, they do it in character.
I've heard. I was supposed to do one, was the last year or the year before, mm-hmm. and then something like they got stuck at the border or whatever, and they got delayed.
So, the border shit is always a problem. Yeah,
always a problem.
Always, man. Yeah. Makes my life so hard going, like, right now I'm like trying to figure out getting my visa renewed for the States.
Yeah.
Such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, being a dual citizen.
Oh, I wish.
Oh, you're not a dual citizen.
No, I'm not. I wish I was a dual citizen.
So you're a Canadian citizen?
I'm Canadian, yeah.
Okay.
If I was a dual citizen, it's like when you
go
there.
Like, New York was now, like, your home.
No. Okay. Like, I'm here pretty much 90, well, when I'm not touring, I'm here.
Okay.
But two of the guys are in New York.
Gotcha. Okay, because I think maybe it was the first time I met you, I thought you were mostly based in New York.
No, I mean, like, we do a lot of stuff out there because most of the band is out there.
Yeah.
But I still just stay here.
Okay.
I like it better.
Okay, someone who's spent time in both places, where's the best slice?
Oh, New York.
Yeah,
without
but where?
A fucking doubt.
In Brooklyn, I'm sure.
The best place I ever had was a place called DeFara's.
Okay.
I think it's closed now. It was near Coney Island.
Okay.
So the whole story behind that place is that it's like this one dude, he unfortunately died like fucking the last year, I think, or 2 years ago. So they closed it down because he was the only dude that they let touch the pizza, touch the ingredients. He was the only guy.
Oh, so no.
It was all in the hands.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like super old Italian dude. Huh. I think he was like 98 or something.
Okay.
Like he almost hit 100. That was the best slice.
And now
ever
can't
fucking,
get it again.
He can't get it anymore.
Oh.
It dies with him.
Yeah.
Which is respectable.
Which is, yeah, kind of cool, but...
But other than that, like my
it's
go-to...
It's like having a trophy if you've eaten one.
Oh, yeah. It's like you've won.
Yeah.
You've won pizza.
Yeah.
And everybody knows in New York.
Wow.
The other place I'll go to is like, there's like Joe's. I love Joe's pizza.
Yeah,
yeah. There's like two or three of them.
Joe's is the one that's used in Spider-Man, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. There's one in Williamsburg that I like
there.
A lot.
Yeah.
And then right by Kyle's place, place called
Toronto's gotten
Carmine's.
Better. Toronto's got... We got a lot of
it's
good pizza
okay.
place, but it's not New York.
My favorite place in Toronto is north of Brooklyn.
I like North of Brooklyn.
North of Brooklyn is like, because it's the closest thing I feel to Brooklyn pizza.
Every list I see always has usually Batty Alley's as number one.
I never had Batty Alley's.
I had it once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got a slice, and I have to go back because I had a slice once, and the person overcooked it.
Oh.
You know, like, when they throw it back in the oven,
yeah.
and he overcooked it. And so I was
I kind of like it when it's a little burnt. I asked him to do it well done.
Okay.
Because in New York...
Well, maybe you would have liked it then, but...
You get that crispiness, that crunch in New York that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Even when it's like a shit dollar slice in New York, it's better than any fucking...
Dollar slices are the best.
Like Two Boots Pizza.
Yeah.
A little chain out there.
Yeah.
The Two Bros
Pizza.
We used
to have a dollar slice place at Young and Dundas.
Nothing's
a big
dollar in New York anymore. I mean, in Toronto anymore.
No, but big slice. And it was like...
Yeah.
It was right at Young and Dundas, and it closed.
I feel like pizza area. Like, I don't eat pizza anywhere else because New York is ruined pizza for
course.
Me.
Yeah.
It's like sushi on the West Coast.
Right. Yeah.
Like, when I lived in LA, it was like, you can't get better than that. Or, like, when I'm out in Vancouver.
Vancouver, yeah.
Every time we tour out there, we just make it our duty to eat as much Japanese food as possible.
Mm. Yeah. Have you been to Japan?
Never. I would fucking love to.
The food is like.
I want to do a Japan tour so
bad.
Japan
is sick, man. Japan
so
is a
bad.
Good time. Japan
I would love
is
to.
A good time. Oh. I went for New Year's in 2019.
That's amazing.
And New Year's is their biggest holiday.
Really?
Because they're not like a religious people and stuff, so they don't really celebrate Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Or anything, really.
Yeah.
So New Year's is like their biggest celebration, and it is fun, man.
I would love to go.
I was, I went by myself.
Oh, wow.
I just went solo.
That's amazing. Look
and
at
I was
you.
Staying at a hostel,
and
I met this group of Colombians, and I spent New Year's with this group of South Americans.
Yeah.
One dude proposed to his girlfriend
at
12 o'clock. I was like in on it. So like I'm in all their proposal photos.
Dude, what
it's
an
like,
experience.
It was, man. I was like one of the best New Year's I ever had. So
that's
like
incredible.
People are like, you went to Japan to hang out with Colombians?
Yeah.
I stayed up till
brother.
I stayed up till like 6 a.m. with them.
Yeah.
It was maybe the best New Year's I've ever had.
God damn, well, we'd love to get out there. Like,
it's a cool place. And it's like one of the most unique places.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah.
I've heard great things about it. I know we have some fans over there, actually, which is kind of nuts. Yeah.
They love their rock and roll music.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
We've been listening to all this, like, Japanese, it's called City Pop is the genre. We've been really getting into it lately
In
this band. Actually, when we play tonight, The song that's going to play as soon as we're off is a city pop artist that we've been listening to.
What are they called?
It's, I think it's, his name is Hiroshi. Excuse
what
me.
What is city pop?
It's like, you know, like 1970, is it 1975? Is that what the,
1975,
like
yeah.
That kind of sound.
Okay.
Like that synth pop yeah, yeah. thing, but like from the 70s.
Okay.
I can't describe it.
Check it out. So what's this guy's name?
Hiroshi Sato.
Okay.
Hiroshi Sato. So fucking good, dude.
Okay.
This album, Awakening, from 1982.
Oh, he's not like a new artist.
No, no, okay, no. He's gotcha. Dead, actually.
Okay.
So fucking good. And when okay, you listen cool. to it, you hear a lot of this stuff in modern kind of alternative stuff. You're yeah, like, oh yeah. my God, this is where it all came from.
Right, right.
You know?
I mean, even like 1OK Rock are pretty badass.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. yeah. I saw them open. They opened for Muse.
Damn.
And,
that's awesome.
And live, they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that other band? The Mongolian band?
Oh,
the who?
The yeah.
The Hugh. I don't know how to
Hugh,
say
yeah,
it.
Or like,
the throat singing?
The throat singing.
So
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
That's so badass,
really
dude.
Cool. I went to Coachella a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. We went the day after we got engaged when we were on this West Coast tour. And the traffic was so bad getting in that we literally just missed the Who. And
yeah.
We were playing, which is, Coachella is a weird place for them to be playing, but yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of yeah. interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Coachella is like very, it's like a, I mean, I don't know how to say this the right way. It's very popular.
Yeah.
You just say that.
We went,
know?
The year we went had a good lineup though. I have to say, like, I looked at this year's.
They always have, like, a cool headliner, like Radiohead will do it.
Yeah.
Like Foo Fighters, then it'll just yeah. be, like, all these abstract artists that I've never
Yeah, the year we went, it was Harry Styles.
He's great.
He was actually
She's
the
great, too.
Best. Yeah, Billie Eilish. And then the third night was supposed to be Kanye.
Oh, wow.
But it was right around, everything was happening.
No, and he got talking too much.
2 days before, he got pulled off.
Yeah.
And they pulled it together the weekend, replaced him, like, within
Oh, that's good,
last,
too.
It was,
yeah, weekend's great.
It was better.
Yeah.
But,
that's
anyways.
Awesome.
Justin, I've kept you way longer than
I'm
supposed
good.
To.
That's all good. No worries.
But anything you want to say before we wrap it up? Anything about the new album?
Well, keep an ear out and eye out for the new record.
It.
There should be stuff coming out soon.
So within the next few months?
I think within the next few months, we should definitely have a single or two out.
Awesome.
It's all getting finalized now. Then keep your eye out for some touring.
Cool.
We're definitely going to be doing some stuff over the summer.
Sick.
Definitely in the fall, for sure.
You think here too? And
I would... My guess, because we're doing Canada now, we probably come back around, like, wintertime.
Well, yeah.
Or, like, closer to wintertime. Okay. I don't like winter touring in Canada.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, late fall, probably. Okay. We're probably going to do something around Canada.
Sounds good, man.
Imagine.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Always
well,
a pleasure,
again,
man.
Thanks for number 3.
Absolutely.
All right, man.
It's an honor.
Cool. Cheers. Thank you for tuning in to the Adamantium podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd absolutely love for you to subscribe to us on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. I'd also love to see you on social media. You can follow on Instagram at The Adamantium, on Facebook at The Adamantium Podcast, and on Twitter at Adam R. Harrison. Thank you again so much for listening.